Good morning. It's time to get up with Mr. Mahomes. Waiting and watching with the biggest game of the year 4 days away and everything hanging in the balance. We've got the latest. Plus, last time they met, the Bucks blew them out. Why should we think this will be any different Sunday at snowy Lambeau Field? And then he's back, but will he be better than ever? Will Kyrie make the Nets the best team in basketball? And what happens if he doesn't? We've got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now on a Wednesday from New York City. Good morning at a special time with you for the next 2 hours as we get up here on ESPN leading into an exciting morning of UFC action here coming up today. And we've got the football crew ready to go and talk this morning with us. Dominique Foxworth is dressed up this morning, looking good. Damian Woody's going to play that piano. Dan Graziano has all the latest insight as we take you inside the biggest story in football, the health of Patrick Mahomes. The Kansas City quarterback remains in the NFL's concussion protocol as we await news on whether or not he'll be able to play in Sunday's AFC Championship game against the Bills. That was the play where he went down this past Sunday, and to this point, he has not officially gotten up. Dan Graziano, my insider, what is the very latest on Mahomes' health and his status for the championship game?
Yeah, the very latest is that as of yesterday, he was progressing through the protocol and people were encouraged. I'm hesitant to lean one way or the other because it's concussion protocol and it's unique to every individual and every situation. So there's no way you can say, oh, so-and-so had a concussion and he was back on the practice field this day, so everything looks good. So far, they're encouraged. But the concussion protocol requires a guy at each stage to not show a recurrence of concussion symptoms. So if he's cleared to practice or cleared to play, and then he wakes up the next day with a headache or other concussion symptoms, then he goes right back to the beginning. So at this point, all we can really say is he's progressing through the protocol and will continue to follow as the week goes along and see if he's able to clear it in time to play Sunday.
And to make it 100% clear, in case there is anyone in the audience that doesn't fully understand, this is not going to be his decision. It is not going to be the team's
Correct.
Decision, the coach's decision. This is completely
Correct.
Out of all of their hands.
Well, what happens is a team doctor can clear him for contact, which would clear him to play in the game. Interesting, quarterbacks aren't contacted in practice. So, right, so the first time he'll have contact is a game. But once the team doctor does that, an independent neurological consultant jointly appointed by the league and the NFL Players Association has to sign off on that clearance before he can get out on the field. So, yes, the league would have a say in whether he's able to play or not.
Dominique was the president of the Players Association when that rule went in. So we'll talk to him about it in a moment. But first, I want you to hear what Brett Favre said about this yesterday, a guy who obviously played all those years and never missed a game. And he had some interesting comments when it came to Mahomes and what he thinks Patrick should do this weekend.
I played 321 straight games. It kind of goes against everything that I stood for when I played. But you got to be smart. You got to be smart. I was never faced with a decision that he potentially will face this week. And ultimately, the decision may fall on the doctors. And if they choose that he doesn't play, then it's the right move because of long-term damage. And when you're in the moment and you're young, you're bulletproof, man. But I'm 51 years old, and I wonder what tomorrow will bring because of concussions more than anything.
It's jarring to hear, of all people, Brett Favre talking that way. So much here to unpack. Again, Neek and Damian Woody getting up with us this morning. And Dominique, I want to start with you because, again, you were the president of the Players Association when all of these rules about the independent neurologist and everything else came in. And what they are designed for, genuinely or generally, is to protect the player first and foremost from himself, right?
Absolutely. I think the point of having this independent neurologist is so that the player, because the players are always going to want to play in that situation, just like Brett was laying out there. But I think it's important to understand that even when you have an independent neurologist, as much as I want to say and want to take credit for being part of the negotiations that made the game safer, that's true, but it doesn't make it completely safe. So it's not like a broken bone. The independent neurologist is certainly going to be assessing the quarterback based on what he's saying, or the player in any case, based on what he's saying. So after a particular vigorous workout, they ask them, Do you have a headache? Are you still sensitive to light? So answering those questions honestly or inaccurately is still up to the player to some degree. We don't have all the information. It's not 100% clear all the symptoms and all the way that this stuff, all the ways that this thing can impact players long term. So I think when Brett Favre, specifically him, someone says that, says something like what he said, it makes me concerned for what he's going through. And it also gives me pause for all players that are exposing themselves to this. We have to understand it's a very serious risk and it's not going away.
No question about it. But then when we sort of focus in on this game this weekend, Damian Woody, you played sort of leading right up to the time where this culture began to change. Do you believe that players' perspective on this has changed? Do you think players like a player like Patrick Mahomes might, we saw him pop up and go running into the locker room. He looked like he wanted to go back on the field last Sunday. Do you think that the players' perspectives have changed on things like this?
I think to a certain degree, I think players are more educated about concussions and player safety than a guy like myself, who when, these things were kind of turned the corner early in my career. But ultimately, listen, players play. You know, that's the mentality that a lot of players in the National Football League has had, either during my time or even right now. So it's ultimately going to fall on the doctors. And like Dominique was saying, Patrick Mahomes to be, honest and forthright about his condition when he's going through this concussion protocol.
So let's make it very clear on what it is that hangs in the balance here. I said it yesterday, and I'll stand by it, Dominique Foxworth. With Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are the favorite in this game. Without him, it is at least one person's opinion, they have next to no chance of beating Buffalo. What do you think?
Yeah, you're right. And that is the pressure that Patrick Mahomes is feeling. Nobody wants to play more than him, and no players want to be on the field or want to be off the field in this moment. But I think you're right. Their chances go down significantly without Patrick Mahomes, despite the fact that they have a lot of awesome playmakers. And Patrick Mahomes knows that. And all the work that they've been doing all season, frankly, all their lives have gotten them to this point, to this opportunity. And no one wants to miss that opportunity. No one wants to be on the sideline in a parka cheering for guys in this situation. But Brett Favre laid it out. There are more important things in life than this one game. But at the moment, when you're in that game, you really can't imagine that there's anything more important than winning at that one moment, which, as crazy as that sounds, we've all been there and we know how it feels when you get to that. Well, we all haven't been there, but you know what I mean, Greeny.
Well, Damian Woody has been there. Why are you shaking your head when he's saying that, D-Wood?
Greeny, I'm trying to tell you, man, I know how players think, and I've been in that situation before where, you have this type of injury and you're not thinking about the future. You're not. You're not thinking about, when I'm 50. You're thinking about right here, right now. You don't want to let your teammates down. You know that this opportunity might not ever come back around. So you're willing to sacrifice. That's the mindset of players. And that's just being honest about the situation. So, I hope Patrick Mahomes make the right decision, in this time. But that's just giving you, idea of what's in a player's mind in this particular moment.
And quickly to button it, Graziano, we watched today, you made the point earlier, even if Mahomes is on the practice field today, it does not mean for certain that he plays on Sunday, right?
Right. There's a stage at which he's cleared for football activity. He can be on a side field throwing the football, right? Not near the rest of his teammates. There's a stage where he's cleared to practice. And again, he could be at, so yeah, you can look at what he does the next couple of days and draw certain conclusions about where he stands in the protocol. But it's very important for everybody to remember that you can go right back to the start of the protocol the second you show symptoms again.
And to be clear, Vegas tells us if he plays, the Chiefs are the favorite. If he doesn't play, the Bills are the favorite. That's what hangs in the balance in the AFC. Over in the NFC, we have the battle of the legendary quarterbacks, the Bucs and the Packers. Now, they met week 6 of this season, and in that game, Tampa Bay had its way, forcing Aaron Rodgers into throwing 2 interceptions, sacking him 4 times. They hit him 13 times in that game. So the defense was spectacular. Tom Brady, meanwhile, maybe not spectacular, but he played a solid game. He was 17 of 27, 166 yards, 2 touchdowns. His total QBR of 96 was actually his second highest in any game this year. The Buccaneers running back Ronald Jones had himself a huge day, ran for 113 yards, which was his second most in a game this year. It was one of just 2 games in which he had multiple rushing touchdowns this season. You know who else who played well was Gronk. He caught 5 passes a number that he only surpassed twice on the season. He had 78 yards, his second most this year, and capped off the strong night with a touchdown. So that's how that game went that time. It'll be interesting to see how it goes this time. And for more, let's bring in our ESPN reporter, Jenna Lane, who covers the Buccaneers for us. And Jenna, what lessons are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking away from that win and applying to the game plan for this Sunday?
Yeah, Greeny, there really is a formula there for success for the Bucs against the Packers. You go back to week six, Devin White had an unbelievable game there. Lavonte David, Todd Bowles really unleashed both those players. And of course, you saw Devin White against the Saints. The speed of those guys on the outside made it so difficult for Jamal Williams and also Aaron Jones. They had a very hard time getting anything going on the ground. And then they pressured Aaron Rodgers throughout the game. They sacked him four times. They blitzed him a ton. They did a lot of zone blitzes too. He had a really hard time as well picking up some of their D-line stunts. So it was a ton of pressure in his face early and often. You saw him get picked off multiple times. And I talked to Bruce Arians. He really thinks that winning the turnover battle is going to be key again in this one.
Well, listen, it's remarkable. Aaron Rodgers has played 18 games this year. He's thrown five interceptions. Two of them were in that game. 40% of the picks he's thrown all year. Now, Jenna, Brady, obviously, basically has lived in these title games. But for so many of the Buccaneers players, this is a brand new experience. What are they telling you about Brady's leadership this week?
Yeah, for perspective, Tyler Johnson, the rookie wide receiver who had a key contribution against the Saints, a key catch, he's only played in 14 career NFL games. Tom Brady's getting ready for his 14th title game. Think about that for a second. A number of guys have said that they've really, really paid attention to how much he's keying in on the details. He is so hyper-focused on the details, but this seems like an interesting juxtaposition. So while he is very, very focused on details and things of that nature, at the same time, they have talked about just how remarkably calm he is. And a lot of that has to do with experience. He's played in so many of these big games before. Cam Brate told me that when the Bucs were tied at 20 apiece going into the fourth quarter against the Saints, there was no panic on their sideline at all because Tom just had this belief and really everyone could feel it all around them that they were going to find a way to win this game. And lo and behold, they did.
A legend of Tom Brady growing and growing. Jenna Lane, outstanding in Tampa. Thank you. We'll keep you close all week as we continue to work our way towards the NFC Championship game. And let me bring the football crew back in here. And Dominique, I know you put together some tape for us here from that first meeting and what you think we can take away that might be applicable this Sunday.
Yeah, Todd Bowles was doing his thing and certainly blitzing Aaron Rodgers. If you can roll the tape right now, you see Todd Bowles bring a blitz off of Aaron Rodgers' off of Aaron Rodgers' right side. The important thing to note here is they're in a blitz cover two. That corner is reading the number two receiver. Right now, he eliminates himself as a vertical threat, which allows him to sit on this route. And Aaron Rodgers is rushed, even though he doesn't have to be. And then Dean gets the pick. There's nothing left to do but to get in the end zone and show your behind like Rafiki, because it is a win for the defense. This is it from another look. Again, the blitz comes, and they try to answer it with a double slant. That should beat the red zone too, the blitz cover too. But no, Todd Bowles changes it. They're in the fire zone, gets a hand on it, interception again. Those were the two plays that changed the tenor of this game and made sure that it was out of reach for the Packers. Again, Todd Bowles was in his bag and in Aaron Rodgers' head throughout that game. Rodgers was getting rid of the ball off of his back foot, despite the fact that the blitzes weren't always even getting home. So we'll see what Todd Bowles has for Aaron Rodgers coming up. I'm sure Matt LaFleur will have some sort of answer, but he didn't have any answers in that first matchup.
Well, it's really interesting. So what you're essentially telling us is that Todd Bowles, who was one of the best defensive coordinators in the sport, former NFL head coach with the Jets, is that he fooled Aaron Rodgers as much as anything, which is not something you would think would be practically impossible, Dominique, right? With all of the experience that Rodgers has.
Not only did he fool him, but in that particular play, he was one step ahead. He had a play that resulted in an interception for a touchdown. And he knew that the reaction to that is going to be the double slant. So he came back with another blitz on the next third down and had a coverage that was there to beat it and caused another interception. Part of that is luck, but part of that is being smart.
So, D. Wood, let's spin it forward. How does that play out differently this time? If you've been in that situation, I remember when you were on the Jets and you lost a huge game to the Patriots. They blew you out in the regular season. You came back and beat them in the playoffs. How do they learn from exactly what Dominique is talking about and apply it for the Green Bay offense this week?
Well, listen, I think one thing that the Packers can do is they got to remain balanced. You know, last week they ran the ball. They had 36 rushes and 36 passes against the number one defense in the league in the Los Angeles Rams. I think that will serve the Packers so much better this time around because that plays right into what Todd Bowles wants to do. Todd Bowles wants to make you one-dimensional. Tampa Bay has number one rush defense, and if you make a team one-dimensional, then that's when they can unleash all of those zone blitzes that Dominic showed you in that tape. So if the Packers can remain balanced, I think that's going to help eliminate some of those things that Todd Bowles like to unleash on quarterbacks.
So balance is the key word, says D. Wood. Dan Graziano, I know you've been around the Packers a lot. You covered their game this week. And there's another word you said they're using heavily as they get set for this game.
Well, confidence, right?
I mean,
they're just so much more confident in their offense. Yeah. So, I mean, that game was a bad game for them. Aaron Rodgers threw two interceptions. Only the second time in the last 3 years that Aaron Rodgers has thrown two interceptions in a game. So, obviously, the Packers don't anticipate that repeating itself. But I remember talking to Matt LaFleur when they played Indianapolis, which was their last loss in Week 11. And he was using naughty words to describe the state of his run game at that time and said it had been in that shape for a couple of months. When I talked to him last week, he was much more effusive about the run game. He said, we did a good job of assessing where we were at that point, installing more variety so we don't always look the same, and that's helped the run game and the pass game, and things are just working much better as a result. They're over 160 rushing yards a game during their current winning streak, which, again, goes back to that Indianapolis loss in Week 11. So the Packers are just in a little different headspace, I think, in terms of their offense than they were in Week 6.
Look, both these teams come in red hot. They both have all the reason in the world to be confident. Four of these teams come in red hot. Obviously, it should be a fascinating weekend. Meanwhile, another factor in this game is clearly going to be weather. 13 years ago today, the NFC Championship game was also played at Lambeau Field. The temperature was -1. The wind chill was -23. And while that was a game in which the Giants upset Brett Favre and the Packers, it is a game that most of us will always remember because of the face of Giants coach Tom Coughlin. I will refer to it, there's Lawrence Tynes kicking the game-winning field goal at the end, but I will always refer to this as the Tom Coughlin's face game. You saw it there as Eli and Brett Favre after it was over. Obviously, that can always be a factor. Now, this weekend, it's not supposed to be anything close to that. 32 degrees, which is balmy. People swimming in Lambeau Field in that area with that temperature. Feels like 27. There is a good chance that we'll have some significant snow. So let's hear Tom Brady talking about what it is like to play in cold weather.
Got to have some mental toughness and wear some warm clothes and be ready to go. So there's, it's chilly, man. That's January football in Northeast, Midwest, and we'll be prepared.
Look, nothing says football like snow and cold at Lambeau Field, and it's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Why? Don't give me that look, Dominique. That's the way fans think.
I hate it. That is not football weather. People say that nonsense. But you know where the best football players come from? The hot. The South. Down there, that's not football weather. This is some nonsense Ice Bowl Green Bay versus the Colts baloney. Like, that's not football weather. Nobody wants to be out in that. No one wants to play in that. No one wants to watch in that. No one wants to walk in that. No one wants to report in that. No one wants to do anything in that weather. It's not football weather. It's hellish conditions. That's what it is. Sorry.
Why is Damien, what are you doing there, D-Wood?
Well, that's coming from a guy who probably has, 8% body fat. Like, when you're a little bit more fluffed up like me, that's perfect football weather, baby. Like, who wants to be playing it when it's 90 degrees and humidity at 100? Man, that's not football weather. Give me the cold. There we go. You see it right there. Give me that. Give me the snow, all of that.
That's D-Wood playing.
I want all of that.
That's D-Wood in the Tuck Rule game, one of the most famous snow games in NFL history, and you might recognize the quarterback, a much younger Tom Brady. So a lot of us will look at this game, D-Wood, and we will say, Tom Brady at 43, this cannot be good for him playing in the cold weather. Do you think the weather will have any influence on the outcome of the game, Damian Woody?
No, not at all. Listen, you're talking about, you're playing for a chance to go to Tampa. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing for an opportunity to play in their home stadium for the Super Bowl. Like, you can't even, that shouldn't even be a thought in your head for 3 hours, you just got to go out there and play ball. You can't be consumed about, you know, Green Bay, Lambeau, and the cold weather. No, absolutely not.
I mean, I don't want to play in it, but I agree with you on this particular point. Like, you got high-tech shirts, you got heated benches, you got hot cocoa on the bench. Like, you'll be all right. Suck it up. You're going to be cold for a little bit. Go out there and play ball. Put it out of your mind. You'll be fine. I mean, it'll be all right.
Graziano, what is your athletic comparison for this?
I played basketball in the driveway with my son yesterday, and toward the end of the game, my fingers were really cold and sore, and it took a while for the feeling to come back. So I hear these guys. I understand what you're talking about.
I think it's a factor. I think there's a real parallel, I think, in those experiences, and we will see what winds up happening.
Yeah.
It should be a fabulous Final Four weekend for the NFL, but that's not the only story going on in the NFL right now. If you believe Deshaun Watson has played his last game with the Texans, what will it take for your team to get him? We'll answer that question and more. It's a special edition of Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. $1 your way only at Burger King. All right, you want to see something spectacular? This man's name is Emil Flowers. He's from High Point, and he sort of lives up to the name. Look at this. Up he goes and dunks on not one but two defenders. Look at him go up there and throw this thing down. Emil Flowers, he's a freshman, and he goes up and throws it down. One can only wonder what it must feel like to be able to do that just one time in one's life. Coming up, it's elementary, my dear. Get Watson. What team has the best shot? Where's he going to wind up? We've got the answers to your questions on Get Up, ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and multiple people in and around the Houston Texans organization believe that Deshaun Watson has taken his last snap as a member of that team. He is still upset with the Texans over the process they used to hire general manager Nick Cazario, leading to speculation they could trade him this offseason. And I think the problems go deeper than that as well. Here's our insider, Jeremy Fowler, who's been working this story. And Jeremy, with the people that you have spoken to, do you get the sense that the relationship at this point between Deshaun and the Texans is beyond repair?
Well, Greeny, I keep hearing that Deshaun Watson's issues are very real. This isn't a stunt, so it very well could be beyond repair. But people around the league I've spoken to believe that the team needs to do whatever possible and should be able to resolve this, because it just makes no logistical sense to trade this guy. You have a 25-year-old in his prime. You just did a long-term deal with him less than 5 months ago. So they need to put it all on the table and do what he needs to do to get him back. Now, the hiring of a head coach, I'm told, could help here. At least that's the belief, because Eric Bieniemy is somebody that Deshaun Watson is a fan of. I'm told Bieniemy is still a strong candidate for this job. New GM Nick Cassario has vetted him thoroughly, so the options are still open there.
Yeah, when the cycle opened, if you will, the Texans were the only team that didn't put in a request to talk to Eric Bieniemy, so that whole part of it has been sort of confusing to follow from the beginning. Let's then live in a world, Jeremy, where the Texans do feel as though they have to make a trade. What would they be expecting to receive in return for, as you point out, a young superstar quarterback basically entering his prime?
Greeny, the floor would be three first-round picks at a minimum, and people I've talked to around the league are unanimous on this. And not only three first-round picks, but a high pick, which is why the New York Jets and Miami Dolphins get implicated so often, because they have the second and third pick in this draft, which, you know, the Texans could use to get their franchise quarterback and probably take some other pieces too. You're thinking young ascending players on rookie contracts with other teams. The Texans could look to acquire a emerging veteran with those three picks.
So to be clear, the third pick in the draft, which the Dolphins have, is Houston's pick. That is a pick that they acquired in a trade from the Texans in the first place for Laremy Tunsil, so they would just be getting it back, which would be irrelevant but somewhat interesting. Meanwhile, what are people around the league speculating as far as the likeliest destination? What are you hearing would be the likely spots that he may wind up?
Well, we covered the Jets and Dolphins because they have the two first-round picks this year. They have the capital to do it, the cap space, all those things. But a couple sleepers for you, Greeny. Don't laugh. But the Chicago Bears. I know there are people in that building that are very high on Deshaun Watson. Even though they passed on him in 2017, GM Ryan Pace could maybe get a mulligan. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer there. They could finally change that. Carolina Panthers, I'm hearing, would gauge interest if he was indeed on the market. This is a team that wasn't completely sold on Teddy Bridgewater. They've sort of made that clear in the open. They have some cap space to do it. They could make it happen. Washington football team is another that's mentioned often as going to be busy this offseason trying to get their future quarterback. They believe their window is now.
Well, look, at the end of the day, there probably is not more than a handful of teams in the National Football League that wouldn't be made infinitely better by acquiring Deshaun Watson at this point. So we will see. The Chicago piece of this does bring a little bit of a smile. There are people there in the building high on him. Where were those people 4 years ago when they could have drafted him? Jeremy Fowler, outstanding. Thank you. Let me bring Graziano into this because, Dan, I know that you also are working this story. What more are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Texans still believe that there's a chance to resolve this. They may be kidding themselves, but they haven't given up on the idea. When teams call them, they're still saying they're not interested in trading him. So that's where they stand. Also, they have an offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly, who became the play caller after Bill O'Brien was fired. And Deshaun Watson has spoken publicly about his fondness for Kelly. I was told last night by a source that other teams have called the Texans to ask permission to interview Kelly for their offensive coordinator jobs, and that the Texans are denying that permission, saying it would be a lateral move. So that might indicate that they're planning to keep him, and that could potentially be seen by them at least as an olive branch for Deshaun Watson. So they're at least making some level of effort to try and salvage this situation.
Dominique, I'm looking at your face, and somehow I feel like thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Go ahead.
It just seems like a mess. Like, they're going to hire a general manager who the quarterback doesn't approve of. Then they're going to hire a coach based on the quarterback's feeling, but they're going to keep the offensive coordinator from the previous regime. That ain't going to work. You need to figure out what you're going to do and have one cohesive plan. This kind of bouncing all around, like flip-flopping of putting together some sort of hodgepodge of an organization is not going to have success no matter how talented Deshaun Watson is. And I hope that he gets what he wants. And the most interesting thing to me about this is normally when a player demands a trade, everyone or most people in the media kind of side with the team and say that the player is getting paid, the player just signed a long-term deal, the player is being selfish. I find it incredibly interesting that those same voices seem to be siding with Deshaun Watson right now. I'm not exactly sure what's going on in that organization, but it's got to be really bad for all the people in the media who kind of sidle up to these organizations to suddenly say, oh no, the Texans are wrong. Free Deshaun Watson. It's concerning. It's interesting to me. I'm not going to argue with it. I love when people side with players, so please keep doing it. But when the rest of the news about what's happening in there comes out, I suspect some of us are going to be surprised.
A part of it, I think, is the football piece of it. He had one of the great seasons, legitimately one of the great seasons in NFL history on a team that went 4-12. And then there's the parts of it that go well beyond football as well. D. Wood, how do you see this whole thing playing out?
Well, listen, Greeny, I think Dominique hit on a lot of points, but I will also add, with all the stuff that's come out, usually what happens, and Dominique can speak to this as well, that's about probably only 10% of what's really going on in that building. Right. Imagine all the things that's happening, that's been going on year after year, that's led up to this moment where Deshaun Watson, who just, you know, 5 months ago signed the extension that he wants out. So it must be a lot of really bad things, a lot of bad mojo going in that building that we just haven't heard of because that's just how it usually is.
I do want to make sure that I'm totally clear here, Dominique. I think you and I are thinking the same way. This is the only team that had a coaching opening that did not request an interview with Eric Bieniemy that may then wind up hiring Eric Bieniemy in the end because it's the one thing that the quarterback wanted. And if they had just consulted with him in the first place, then we wouldn't have gone through all of this. That's called being reactive rather than proactive. And that is an outstanding way to run a completely dysfunctional organization in sports or anywhere else. Are we getting this right?
You nailed it, Greedy. Like, I don't understand if there was anybody who was siding with the Texans after what you just did right there. I don't understand how anyone can look at that and say, I want to sign up my career, my legacy, my health to an organization that is being run what it seems like on a whim based on public opinion or based on what's happening in the media. It doesn't seem like they have a coherent plan to build around him. And it would concern me. And I know Deshaun wants some input, but now you want to take my input? You didn't respect what I had to say a couple weeks ago. Now all of a sudden you want to bend over backwards to give me what I want? Then go ahead and let's readdress this GM situation too.
Yeah, so maybe the people who are having those conversations in the Texans can call up the people in Chicago who suddenly are very high on Deshaun Watson, and that could be an interesting conversation between them. Graziano, let's button it with this. Give me a timetable here. Like this can't just go on forever, right? We're talking about draft picks in this year's draft. So at very latest, we're talking about the end of April when this has to be resolved?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you don't want to get into a situation where you're past the draft and you have to now trade for 2022 picks. It just sort of sets you back a year, especially you're in the Texans situation, as we've discussed. They don't have a first-round pick this year. They don't have a second-round pick this year. If you have to trade this player, and you don't want to, but if you have to, then the one thing you could possibly get in return is a quick helper for your rebuild, which would have to come in this year's draft.
All right, so we'll keep a very close eye on that. Obviously, there's only a handful of teams in the NFL that shouldn't be willing to give up practically anything to get Deshaun Watson. Let's see how the whole thing goes. Meanwhile, we're talking about another quarterback as we continue. Baker and the Browns finally back in the playoffs. They appear to have turned a corner. But why in life is it important to point out there were no guarantees? The answer to that question is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and to the big NBA news of the week. Kyrie Irving has rejoined the Brooklyn Nets. He's missed their last 7 games. He practiced yesterday. Coach Steve Nash said he expects Kyrie will play tonight against Cleveland. Here's more from Kyrie.
You know, I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces, and we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself like I planned on doing, you know. Just needed a pause. A lot of family and personal stuff going on. So just want to leave it at that.
All right. So that's what he said. Here is Jay Williams on loan to us for a few minutes from KJZ on ESPN Radio. So as you listened to him yesterday and we prepare for his return, Jay, Will, what thoughts went through your mind?
as a teammate, if I were his teammate, I wouldn't care what Kyrie Irving said to the media. I wouldn't care how he said it, if he was leaning over or if he was hanging upside down. What mattered to me was that he communicated that and had conversations with his teammates, with his front office, with the guy that actually owns the Brooklyn Nets. That's way more important to me than anything else, that he's committed to what we want to achieve ultimately as a goal to win the world championship. And one of the things, Greeny, that I think we all need to start doing a little bit more, not excusing the type of behavior that we've seen from Kyrie, but the man also has, you know, fulfilled and paid college tuition for 9 HBCU students. Right? He's donated $1.5 million to the WNBA for players that have opted out. He's paid for George Floyd's family's home. There's been a lot of things right now, considering everything that 2020 has brought our way, that he's done for his community. And it is, that's not about the game of basketball, it's about the game of life. Once again, not excusing the behavior of the lack of communication he had and him disappearing for a while, but we all have addressed issues in 2020 with families, this pandemic, and people attacking the U.S. Capitol. It's been a heavy year. As long as we can recognize that for Kyrie Irving and his teammates, if they can understand that, then they move forward.
Yeah, like most things, it's complicated, and he is complicated. But yes, let's go to the simplest part of this, and that is the basketball part of it. We've seen KD and Harden together for 2 games, and they've looked extremely good. How confident are you that Kyrie will slide in and they will just get better?
I feel like it should be easy. Whoever gets the rebound, you go, you push the ball down the court. Kevin Durant operates in such a small space, he doesn't need the ball to be effective. I still move Kyrie Irving off the ball because I think he's more effective in that capacity. And James Harden is averaging 10 assists in his first 2 games. He's been averaging 10 assists this whole season, even though we've been questioning his weight and other things. I let Kyrie attack. I play fast. The Brooklyn Nets also have this whole mantra where 7 seconds or less. They want to get a quick bucket. So if Kyrie gets a rebound, go. If James Harden gets a rebound, go. Same with KD. The question is, when it comes to the end of the game, I think everybody needs to be on the same page about Kevin Durant needs to get an end-of-game shot or James Harden. That pecking order is something to pay attention to. How will it work? Will it go KD, James Harden, Kyrie? Will it go KD, Kyrie, James Harden? I think that's the thing to pay attention to, end-of-game or end-of-shot clock scenarios.
So is that something that can change night to night, or is that something from your experience that has to be in stone? This team, we're going to go 1, 2, and 3, or is that something that can change night to night?
I think when we get to playoffs, I think you'll see that a little bit more in concrete. But I think throughout the course of the regular season, you go to the hot hand. And I think that's the kind of unselfishness that you need with 3 superstars on the same team. If Kyrie's gone off for 40 and KD isn't feeling it, you give the ball to Kyrie. If James Harden is feeling it and he has a triple-double and the ball's in his hands and he's feeling a flow and a rhythm of the game, you go with the guy who's hot at that respective time. But that's something that's a mentality that all 3 of these great superstars are going to need to buy into.
All right, I've been saying forever, I'm in the interesting business. There's nothing more interesting in the sport right now than how these 3 guys come together. KJZ on ESPN Radio. I'll be with you guys 9:30 Eastern today. So, Jay Will, I will see you then. And a reminder, tonight, our NBA doubleheader on ESPN. You've got 2 of the best in the East going head-to-head, the Celtics and Sixers. And then it's the Suns in Houston to take on the new-look Rockets. That's tonight, all the hoops on ESPN. Meanwhile, right now, back to Neek.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
This is the part of our show where I ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions about football, usually, to our friend Dominique Foxworth, and whether he wants to or not, he has to answer them. Here's the first. Dominique, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play on Sunday, do the Chiefs have any chance to win?
Yeah, I mean, they have a chance. They still have a defense that seems to step up at the right time when the playoffs come around, and they still have a ton of playmakers on offense. And between Bieniemy and Andy Reid, I think that offense can find ways to create points. And Tyrann Mathieu, as you see there, it seems like every playoff game he finds a way to make an interception, cause a fumble that they need. And no one can cover Kelce or Hill on any team in the league. So they'll find a way to stay in the game, but I still would put my money on the Bills in that situation, obviously.
Vegas agrees. Vegas says KC is the favorite with Mahomes, and Buffalo is the favorite if he's not there. Next, which of the 2 legends on the other side are you more confident in having a big game on Sunday, Brady or Rodgers?
Oh, it's easy. Rodgers, because he's better. Like it's that simple. I understand that Todd Bowles, and I drew up the reasons why Todd Bowles had some success against him last time, but I don't see it happening again. I think that Aaron Rodgers is obviously the best when it comes to holding onto the ball and not turning it over in the league. And we saw last week, the Bucs, they had trouble scoring unless they got turnovers. They had 3 touchdowns off of 4 turnovers. And if I believe the Packers won't turn the ball over, Aaron Rodgers will have a good game and Tom Brady might struggle a little more moving the ball and being effective in the red zone like we saw last week.
Perhaps. I'll say it again. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 5 interceptions in 18 games this year. 2 of them were in that loss to Tampa week 6. All right, finally, which team will Deshaun Watson be playing for week 1 of next season?
Miami Dolphins. I think that's the obvious team that he can go to where they have the draft picks. They even have the young quarterback. And when he gets there, it doesn't set the team back necessarily. If he goes to just about any of these other teams, they're going to have to set the team back by giving up draft picks. The Dolphins have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds this year, and I believe they have it again next year. So they'll be able to trade enough of those picks away and still be able to build. And they have a great defense, which is, I think, important. We saw Deshaun Watson dealing with some bad defenses. And if that happens, please let me tell you right now, if you have a black uncle in your life, buy him a Dolphins hat immediately, because they'll have a black head coach, a black quarterback, and a black GM. I guarantee you, all black men over the age of 50, the Dolphins will become their favorite team immediately.
They also, would they become the best team in that division? You got the Bills, who are 1 win away from the Super Bowl with a young, great quarterback. Then you would all of a sudden have the Dolphins with a really good defense and a really good quarterback. Would the Dolphins immediately become the favorite in the division next year with Deshaun?
I don't think immediately. You have to give the Bills credit. They've made a deep run. So I still think you give it to the Bills until proven otherwise. But they certainly will have the better quarterback, honestly.
All right, let's see what winds up happening with that. Meanwhile, let's talk about another team with a young quarterback that made a good run this year, and that was Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. That run came to an end Sunday in Kansas City, Cleveland nearly pulling off what would have been a huge upset. After the loss, Baker Mayfield had a simple message for his teammates and his fans saying, "We'll be back." Based on his play this season, Browns fans should be hopeful about that. He had actually fewer passing yards this year, but everywhere else he made huge improvements. This year he had a better touchdown interception ratio, better completion percentage, much higher QBR. He was just candidly a much better player this year. So he's saying, "We will be back." And Dominique, I know you're saying life isn't always that simple.
Yeah, I agreed with all of that, and I was so happy for the Browns. They found their quarterback. They found their coach. They even won a playoff game. I thought this year was a great success until Patrick Mahomes got hurt. Once Patrick Mahomes got hurt and they had that fumble at the 1-yard line, it seemed like a missed opportunity. I don't know if they will ever have a chance as good as they did there. Obviously, no one wanted Mahomes to get hurt, but it happened. And you had Chad Henne on the other sideline in a game that you should win, and you punted it away on 4th and 9, and you never saw the ball back again. This play right here that we keep watching, like, it's going to go down in history along with the fumble and the drive as missed opportunities in Cleveland Browns history. And that's really unfortunate, because unless they win a title or get to the Super Bowl in the next 5 years, they're going to look back on this and think this was their closest opportunity and they weren't able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, Ernest Byner fumbled on the 1-yard line once upon a time, and then this one on the 1-yard line as well, not right at the end of the game, but obviously an extraordinary play. How about that, D. Wood? You played on a lot of really good teams. When you make a deep run and you fall short and you say, "We're going to be back," how does the team view that, and how confident are you the Browns will be back?
Well, Greeny, Coach Belichick used to tell us all the time that each year is different, each team is different. And regardless of, you know, the success that you had in that particular season, there's no guarantee that you're going to be back. There's no guarantee that that team is going to have the same amount of success. I mean, shoot, ask Dan Marino about that when he said, you know, in his second, you know, his second year in the National Football League, he went to the Super Bowl. I guarantee he thought he would be back too. Never saw the Super Bowl again. So, you know, the game of football is always tricky. You have injuries and battle of attrition, and you need a little luck. So I get where the excitement is coming from with, you know, the Cleveland Browns making the playoffs and doing some good things in the postseason. But trust me when I tell you this, there's no guarantee that you're going to be back in this particular situation next year or anytime after that.
particularly, Dominique, when we look at what the AFC shapes up to be in the near future, just look at the young superstar quarterbacks, obviously Patrick Mahomes. If Deshaun Watson winds up on another AFC team, or even if he winds up staying in Houston long term, you look at Josh Allen, what they're doing at Buffalo. You look at Justin Herbert and what they could build in Los Angeles and so many other places. The AFC is going to be a beast for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I don't look forward to that opportunity. Like I mentioned before, this might be as close as they can get, and they're going to be in a division that's always going to be tough. The Steelers aren't going to fall back too far, and Lamar and the Ravens are a team that's going to be tough for them to contend with. So this may be a missed opportunity. I hope for their sake they can get back to that spot, but you don't get to carry those wins over. You don't get to start in a championship game next year or in a division around next year. You're going to have to win all those games all over again and get back to that spot against Patrick Mahomes, and he's probably going to be healthy then, and it's going to be a lot more difficult.
You're right, and I didn't even mention Lamar Jackson, and there's Joe Burrow was in that conference. There are great young quarterbacks every direction you look in the AFC. Meanwhile, tip off the weekend with the first game of our NBA Friday doubleheader. We'll have Celtics Sixers on ESPN+. Plus, Saturday afternoon, we got number 19 Duke taking on number 16 Louisville, highlighting our full day of basketball across the networks. And then Saturday night is the big night on ESPN+. Plus, Conor McGregor is back, squaring off against Dustin Poirier, the number 2 contender in the main event. That's a look at our big lineup Friday and Saturday here on ESPN and ESPN+. Plus. Coming up, all eyes on Kansas City, all eyes on Patrick Mahomes. You need to hear a warning from Brett Favre. It might change your opinion. It's next on ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.